Hello, and welcome back to Freedom Revamp, the podcast. I'm your host, Deshawn, and I'm so excited to be joined by Allison Calloway. Say hello to everyone.
Hello, everyone. So excited to be here.
So, Allison, I would love for you to just share with our listeners a little bit more about who you are and what it is you do.
Yes. So again, Deshawn, thank you so much for having me on. I'm really excited about this chat. As she mentioned, I am Allison Calloway. I am the founder of the Mamas Movement, which is an organization that seeks to bring Christian moms together on the journey that we call motherhood. And so we really just lock arms with one another to equip and empower each other along the journey. And so that's such a huge blessing. And I call it my second child, which is the perfect segue to the next thing. I am also a boy mom to the most amazing 2-year-old. And so he really just helped me carve out and birth this particular organization, the Mamas Movement. I'm also a certified professional life coach. Really enjoy that work. And really at the helm of what I do is encourage mothers around purpose. So that's a pretty cool thing. But I think aside from all of that and all of the hats that I wear, I love Jesus. I love Jesus. I love Jesus. I'm a daughter of the King, and just one that has been saved by his grace. And so that's who I am.
Awesome, Allison. Well, thank you for sharing with everyone who you are. You have a lot of great things going on, and I truly enjoyed looking through what you are doing with the Mamas Movement. And I think that that's amazing. So really quickly, before we jump any further into our conversation, I kind of want to know, you mentioned being a boy mom and how that kind of helped to birth the idea, but what really led you to step out on faith and create the Mamas Movement?
Yeah. Oh my goodness. I will tell you, the journey was a bit unconventional, and it's amazing the seasons that you will find God in new ways. And what I mean by that is my son is the most amazing thing that happened to me. But the story that led me to his birth, it was a messy one. It was a dirty one, if you will. It was a very stressful one. But I believe that in those times, God was seemingly leaving breadcrumbs for me to eventually pick up one day and put the pieces together. And so after he was born, I was also reborn, if you will. And in those moments, he was really pressing upon my heart to start this ministry, because other moms that have gone through situations like yours, who may find themselves in similar situations, they need to know about the saving grace of God. They need to know that they're not alone and they don't have to do life in isolation. And so that was really what prompted me to start this ministry, just doing an internal work and seeing how God really held my hand through what I thought I never would get through, find myself on the other side and say, you know what, now I have to pull some more mom and some more women with me. And so that's really how it was birthed.
That's amazing. I applaud your obedience, because in doing so, I'm sure that you've been a blessing to many women and will continue to be a blessing to women for just simply being obedient. He gave you something that he wanted you to do, and you stepped out and you did it. And with his help, you know, you've seen such success with it. So I'm really excited to speak with you today.
Thank you. Absolutely.
So you mentioned being a life coach, and I know to many people that's a concept that some may understand and some may not. So can you explain to us what it means to be a life coach?
Absolutely. And so when you look at the word life coach, right, it's a coach that helps you in whatever juncture in your life, but it's also very segmented. So for me, life coach is sort of the general term, but I like to say a personal empowerment coach. And I think that's a lot more powerful, because all of what I do through the Mamas Movement and through the coaching endeavors, it's to empower moms in their personal lives to be the best version of themselves. And so I just come alongside fellow moms to remind them that, yes, you are a mom, and yes, this is your number one priority. And you may also be married, and that's a key priority as well. But there is still a unique gift and a unique call on your life that God would have you to do. And sometimes that's not just being a wife or a mom or the typical things that we need to check off after we become moms. Sometimes it's about fulfilling that desire that rests deep down on the inside of you. And so my job and what I do is really help moms pull that out to see there is more to me than these things that fit society's norms. There are gifts and talents and purpose and destiny attached to my life. And so, like I said, I just come alongside to help show moms. And it's so amazing because you find that as you begin to work with coaches, you realize that you have all the answers. I'm not saying anything new under the sun, but rather empowering you to see it within yourself. And so that's really what life coaches do, you know, empower you to see what you may not have otherwise seen in yourself. And as a personal empowerment coach for mamas, I call it mamas, obviously the mamas movement, but I take it a little bit deeper and I work with solely moms because that's where my heart is, but really just empowering them to see you really can have the life that you've dreamed of.
I love that. So as we prepare to jump into our topic today, which is pursuing purpose, I want to first ask you, what does freedom mean to you? Courtney talks about this concept of practicing freedom, but before we discuss how you practice freedom, I want to know what freedom means to you.
Yeah, that's such a good question. Oh my gosh. I would definitely say, you know, to me, freedom simply is not being bound or tied to once held one captive before. So that can be a person, a thing, an idea, whatever it was that once held you captive before, making a decision to not be bound or connected to it anymore. I think that's freedom. I think it's also about not allowing your experiences to reduce you, things that you've journeyed through to reduce you. Obviously it's healthy. It's good to remember certain things so that certain decisions aren't made again. And you can always have like this humble spirit, right? Because you know, the things that you've walked through.
Yeah.
But I think it's so important to not allow them to be to not allow them to reduce you. And so I think that's definitely what freedom means, that I can take the things that I've been through and bring them with me on the journey, but I still have the upper hand on them. And so I definitely think, in my estimation, that's what freedom means.
I love it. So based on your definition, how do you go about practicing freedom, whether it be on a daily or a weekly basis?
Yeah, I think the first thing is aligning with the word of God and aligning with the truths that he's really just poured out over us from the beginning of time. And I think the first thing is, you know, the word says that whom the Son sets free is free indeed. And that is reminding myself that even when I feel bound, even when I feel stuck, even when I feel locked up, I am free. Because I think freedom is a choice, right? And everything we do, it starts in the mind. And so I think it's being able to remember that, that would be first. And honestly, I think after that, after I've already redirected my mind, it's showing up as my authentic self. Again, like not allowing my past to cripple me and walking in that God-given authority and being able to embrace where it is that he has me on this journey. I definitely believe that is how I practice it. That is what motivates me to keep going forward. And that is just how I choose to live.
I think one of the things that stuck out to me the most in what you just said there was knowing where we're at in our journey. Mm-hmm. I think that understanding that kind of sets us free too, because often we get caught up with this biological clock and we think we need to have this done by this time, or we have to have this done by this time, or we fail, or whatever the case may be. But I think we truly set ourselves free when we understand that it's an ongoing journey and just understanding what part of that journey we're currently in. So I love that you mentioned that.
Absolutely.
So as we segue into our conversation, today we're discussing purpose. And I think purpose is, for me, something that's rooted in my relationship with God. I feel like he's where I received my purpose because obviously, I am a firm believer in Christ, so much of my ideas and ideals and moral and anything that centers around purpose is something that has come from him. So yeah. I'll answer this question with you. I want to know, first, how does one determine their purpose? What is, I know it's there's no definite answer, but how would you say you found yourself or you fell into your purpose or whatever the case may be?
And I think this is such an amazing question because, again, I think, you know, we have these ideas of how we want our life to go, right? We have like this little timeline, right? And in our minds, we're like, well, this is going to happen then. This is what I want there. But God, there's like this quote that says, like, you make plans and God laughs, because he's like, no, daughter, no, son, that is not how we're doing it. And so I think that's sort of how I stumbled upon, you know, my purpose. I really thought I knew where I was going, what I was doing. And my life totally took a left turn. And I'm like, wait, what? This is not what we talked about. This is not what it was supposed to, you know, just line up to be. And so I really had to be okay with relinquishing control. But I realized that I found it. I found that sweet spot because this journey was far different. It really rocked me to my core. And I won't say that, you know, anytime you look for purpose, it's going to find you in your rock bottom experiences. You know, for some of us, it does, and it did, but that's not everybody's journey. But for me, that was definitely the case. And this one really cost me a lot. You know, it cost me to become a different version of myself. It cost me to really rise to the moment, to rise to the occasion. And it really, really, really forced me to like walk on deep waters and trust God with where he was taking me. And so as I prayed and prayed for God to really reveal it to me and unveil those plans for my life, here it is. It like presented itself in the most craziest and unprecedented ways, but it felt so different and it feels so different. And I believe that now there's like this beautiful union between God and I, because he's finally like, okay, this was that straight and narrow path I was talking about, Allison. Like, this is where I've always wanted you to be. And yes, you're going to have moments where you're going to get back on those crooked paths, but ultimately, you're now aligning with where I want you to go. And so I would definitely say for me, it was that meditation, that prayer time with God, the things that he caused me to go through, the series of events that I was experiencing, it showed me, yeah, this is it. This is different, but this is where he wants me to be.
I'd agree. I think if I'm answering the question of like, how do you determine your purpose? I think it's hard to say that you can just go after it or that you can find it. And it's easier to say that it's something that's revealed to you. Mm-hmm. I think that I had the pleasure of having my purpose revealed to me very early in life. I believe that my purpose is in acting and in entertainment. Mm. And I believe that when I first found it, I had no idea how he wanted me to use that. And I think that that's been the ongoing journey for me as I continue to grow into adulthood, mm-hmm. and things like that. But initially he showed it to me and it was something that I was afraid of. I was insecure at the time that it found me. So the idea and concept of like being in front of people wasn't something that I was excited about. Mm-hmm. I've never been a shy kid, but like I wasn't in a place where I was ready to be put on display, sure. or to be put in front. Mm-hmm. And that's exactly what he had done to me. He put me on the praise team, which meant I had to stand up in front of people at my private school. And then he brought me into drama, which I found myself a production as in a lead role that I wasn't expecting that or the responsibility that came with. And then from then on, I just realized how easy it was to do the things that he put me in place to do. And that's when I was like, wow, this might be something that I want to do.
Wow.
And
wow.
Then it was confirmed, you know, in ministry, that's what I did. I spent most of my time in ministry in some form of entertainment, whether it was dance or whether it was the drama program at my church. That's where I've found myself, you know, connecting most to God, or feeling like I was having the most, like my most of my encounters with God were through those things, through music and through the arts and through drama. And that's when I knew, like, this is how I communicate with him. This is very mm-hmm. much going to be the way in which I get to contribute to the kingdom. So the older I got, the more that I learned, I used my purpose to feed the kingdom in any way I could. I was writing productions for my church. their Easter program and things like that, orchestrating drama moments for our online services and things like that, just finding ways to continue to use the gifts that I had for God. I also refer to myself as a vessel. So a lot of the things that I do as an actor and like the ways in which I can tap into my, you know, into being vulnerable or tap into my emotions or be so in tune with my emotions, that's all a gift from God. Absolutely. So that I could fulfill my purpose. And it also makes me a better person. I always say that the best actors are well-rounded people. They're people who are in tune with their emotions. That way they can predict, you know, that way they can go and they can perform in a way that is empathetic to others. They might not be able to they might not have had the experiences of the characters that they're playing, but they're able to empathize with those experiences to give a truthful and honest performance. So that's how it found me. I always tell people that I do believe that my purpose found me. Is that the end of the road? No, I feel like once you find your purpose, then now there's a responsibility of like staying in alignment with it and, you know, taking on the kingdom less of yourself. Like this is not, it's not about me. There's a bigger and greater cause for the reason why I was gifted these things and why I have the purpose to do these things. So looking at it from that perspective, I think that that's what leads to my next question. Because it seems as if you have also kind of said like, well, I guess I could ask you, do you believe that you really have found your purpose in life?
Yes, 100%. I do. And I love what you said about, you know, once you sort of find your purpose and you discover your why, that isn't it, right? That isn't like, okay, yeah, I've arrived. Like, honestly, that's just the beginning, right? Because now you can do this work operating in such a totally new space, because now it's like, okay, I can be laser focused on what it is that I know God has called me to do. And so I would absolutely say yes, but now I feel like the real rolling up of the sleeves begins, because this is where he has me. It's where he has you. And now we need to just really walk in that authority and do what he's called us to do. And so I love what you said about that. And yeah, I totally agree. I definitely have found it. Absolutely.
I think one of the other reasons why I'm going to ask the next question too, is because like I mentioned, like, you know, you said it's not a destination, which is true. You don't just arrive at your purpose and then yay, that's it. There's still so much more to do next.
Yeah.
So like then, you know, as an adult, you kind of want to know, like, at what point is this confirmed? How do I know that this is what I'm supposed to do? Mm-hmm. And for me personally, I feel like God, he's completely confirmed my purpose, and he is constantly confirming my purpose through affirmations of like accomplishments and things like that, or affirmations from others in regards to what I'm doing, and just seeing how it's changed me and how it changes others. That's, to me, is the confirmation that it is indeed my purpose. So what do you believe was a confirmation for you that when you found your purpose, like, this is it, I've arrived, this is my purpose? How do you believe that God confirmed that for you?
Yeah, honestly, much like you said, I think it's in those perpetual signs, right? And so some of it, like I said, you know, for me, it was weighty in the beginning, but I think it's those perpetual signs. It's really just doing internal work to see, like, where am I most happy? When I'm doing this, does this bring me joy? Am I beaming? Am I radiant with like God's love when I'm operating in this? And looking, really just analyzing where it is that you find your quote unquote happy place, where it is that you find your, like you mentioned earlier, you're able to connect with God and you're able to really enhance that vertical relationship. I think also it's about, I'll never forget, this was maybe like a year ago, and I was planning an event for the Mama's Movement. And one of my mentors, he approached me and he was like, you know, I'm just really proud of you, you know, for not giving up, for really pressing. I can see how moms will be blessed by what it is that you're doing. And he was like, and Allison, like, your entire disposition changes when you start talking about the Mama's Movement. Like, I could be having the worst day ever, but if somebody asked me a question about the organization, about my second baby, I light up like there's just no end. And he really, and I'm sure you can attest to that as well. And it's like, when he said that to me, I was like, you're right. Like, I am so happy doing this work. I feel so good about it. I'm so connected to God with it when I'm operating in this gift and in this vein. And so I think for me, those are, again, like I mentioned earlier, some of those breadcrumbs that confirmed and made sure that, yeah, this is it. Like, this is it. And so I would definitely say that's what it was and has been for me.
I love it. So I guess, like, kind of to backtrack a little bit, I want to talk about the process of pursuing purpose. So like I said, for me, where I'm at in life, I was privileged to have been presented my purpose at a time frame that God knew I needed to start to, you know, foster those skills and making sure that I was going to be on the right path to where he saw me in the future, mm-hmm. which I have not even reached that. I don't know what that's going to look like, but I know that because he revealed it to me so early, I could take it seriously from that moment forward and make sure I was fostering the skills necessary to truly fulfill it. So I guess I want to just lend some tips to our listeners. If they feel like they haven't found their purpose, what are some ways that you think that they can really tap into it or pursue it or hear from God as to what their purpose is?
Yeah, so I would absolutely say the number one thing, and this is scripture, this is the word tells us to seek ye first the kingdom of God and all else will be added to us. And so I think it's so important to seek God. You know, sometimes we can allow this world and our flesh to reign supreme because, oh, this is cool, or this is trendy, or this will get me fame, or this feels like this is awesome. You know, it's a great opportunity. But we have to really just cry out to God, pray to God, seek his face, really begin to grow in that relationship with him, because that's when things become so much clearer. It's almost like, you know, somebody puts headphones in your ear and they're like screaming in your ear. I just believe the closer you get to God, the louder you can hear his voice and the clearer you can hear his voice. So that would be the first thing I would say. Seek ye first the kingdom of God. Don't worry about chasing your purpose. Worry about chasing him, because he will definitely reveal that to you. That would be the first thing I would say. I think secondly, and this is no matter what lane we're called to operate in and what gifting we've all been blessed with, our number one goal is to witness, right? And the word also tells us that, you know, we have to go and make disciples of all nations, right? That was Jesus's mandate to the disciples, to go and make disciples of all nations and teach them what he taught the disciples, right? And so that is our number one goal. And so I always self-check and I always self-assess, because it's easy for the flesh to rise up, right? And so you always have to kind of wait a minute, take a breath and make sure you're in alignment with God. And one of the things that I always say, and I think it's great to note for listeners, what you are desiring to do, whatever you think your purpose might be, whatever you're tapping in and believing God to reveal to you, is it self-seeking or does it build the kingdom? Does it advance the kingdom? Mm-hmm. Because that is the sweet spot, I believe. If it's just for your own gain, it probably is not purpose, because God tells us that, you know, we are here to glorify and expand the kingdom, right? And just bring heaven to earth. And so again, with making disciples of all nations, I believe that ties to purpose, right? Because what are you doing in your walk, in your purpose, in your life that is glorifying the kingdom? And I'm not saying that means everybody needs to go and be a minister. Everybody needs, there's so many different ways. There's so many different lanes that we operate in, but ultimately the foundation needs to be on God. And so I would say that. And I think the last thing I would say, honestly, Deshaun, is to just remember what he said about you and what he spoke over you before you were even formed in your mother's womb, right? None of us are purposeless, not one of us. You may not know it, but there is something deep down on the inside of you that is so unique to you and your DNA. And so I think it's just remembering and being patient with yourself in your journey and knowing that God's not going to let you miss it as long as you're actively seeking after him again, seeking him first, and just allowing him to commune with you and to show you and again leave those breadcrumbs for you, and trusting in the process that he's not going to let you miss the mark. And you may feel as though, oh my gosh, you know, I don't know where I am or I don't know what I'm doing, but he knows. And I think it's just being submitted to that, being surrendered to that, and trusting him with the totality of your life. And I think just, I would also say, I believe it's in Habakkuk, but I could be wrong. But it basically talks about the vision awaiting for its appointed time. And it won't lie. And it says that if it seems slow, wait for it, and it will surely come. It will not delay. And I think you mentioned earlier about like God's timelines. His timeline is not ours. You have to be able to trust in that divine synchronicity of God and trust that he has your best interest in mind. And so your vision will wait for the appointed time. You don't even want it prematurely if you could have it. And so trusting that as you're seeking first the kingdom, as you're going and making disciples of nations, as you're being reminded that God has not forgotten you, that he's poured out a purpose over your life before you were even a thought, I believe it makes it easier to wait patiently and wait well as your vision begins to come to life. So that's what I would say.
I totally agree. And that's a perfect segue into my final question. Because I kind of wanted to ask, what do you do to ensure that you stay the course of pursuing your purpose and not focusing on worldly fulfillment? And you just kind of mentioned that, like, we can always tell when our purpose is like, or when we're falling off course, when we start to worry about like worldly things, whether or not when things start to become about us and less about him, that's when we know, okay, maybe I'm lingering a little bit off of the path. Mm-hmm. Specifically with my profession, it's so easy to make it about yourself because people see you first. Yeah. Right. But I'm like I mentioned earlier, I'm quick to tell people that I'm merely a vessel. Like my characters do the speaking, you know, and I'm just, you know, able to, like I said, tap into those emotions because that's a gift that God has allowed me to have. Yeah. Every opportunity that I've ever had, every place that I've ever been because of acting is solely because of God. God gave me the peace and the confidence to complete those auditions or to do those performances or whatever the case may be. It was not me. So as cliche as it sounds, I always thank God first. Yeah. I always put God first because without him, I would not be able to do these things, right? So that's why I wanted to ask you specifically with your profession, what do you think keeps you on the course, making sure like you're not focusing on worldly fulfillment? Because it's very easy to, you know, with the movement and things like that, become a face and take on all of the praise and take on all of the credit for it. When indeed it was God that, you know, gave you the ability to do those things.
Yeah, I would honestly say you have to perpetually pass the test. And I love what you said about, you know, after each performance or each event that you have, you realize and you're just so quick and adamant about telling people, you know, I'm just being used by God and I have to continually thank him. I have to continue to stay humble and submitted because God can shift things in a minute, right? And so, and they say, you know, with your gifting, if you don't use it, you'll lose it. That's one thing. But I think also if you become too high or you put yourself over God and you're no longer giving him the glory because he's honestly giving you that particular gift, he can strip it away from you. So I think it goes, you know, it speaks to both ends of that spectrum, but I think it's about perpetually passing the test, you know, and realizing that you will be tempted, right? You'll be tempted to give up when things don't go right. You'll be tempted to throw in the towel when you don't see progress. You'll be tempted to just, you know, pump yourself up sometimes over God because it feels good. Like you said, you become a face, you know, you then have a following and all of these things. So you have to kind of play in that juxtaposition and in that middle ground, if you will, to remember to stay submitted. And so I think it's about perpetually passing the test and realizing that at every juncture, I am the vessel. Next test, I am the vessel. Next test, I am the vessel. And never get to this high place, because I then believe, you know, you're overstepping your boundaries. And that's when you're no longer being pleasing to the kingdom. It becomes about self. And I think the other thing would be, you know, I believe as a child of God, you know, we do have this level of confidence. We do have this level of, yeah, I know I am the bomb, if you will, because I am my daughter's child, you know? Yeah. And so I think it's sometimes just being able to remind yourself, like, hold on a minute, like, this might not have been a good experience. This might not have been the best day. I may not have gotten that contract. I may not have been able to do that thing. But wait a minute, I am still the salt of the earth. I am still the light of the world. I'm a city set on the hill that cannot be hidden. I can still do this. And I think it's about just reminding yourself that you have all of heaven backing whatever you're doing here on the earth. And so use that authority, use that dominion and tap into that. Like, we don't fight fair. I say it all the time. Like, we don't fight fair. When we go, we come with angel armies behind us, right? And so go and walk in that authority that God is giving you. And I think the last thing I would say is you have to have discipline over motivation, because I've learned. Right? And I'm sure you can attest to that, because there are so many times where you want to give up. You want to give up, you know, for you. Maybe it was not making the cut at a certain audition. For me, it's, you know, maybe not being able to have a successful event, when whatever success looked like in my mind, right? And all of these things. And so you're not motivated, right? You feel like you got slapped on the wrist and you just kind of want to sink back and shrink back to who you once were. But that's when you have to allow your discipline to reign supreme. That's when you have to allow God to speak over and you say, wait a minute, daughter, wait a minute, son. I know this doesn't feel good, but it's going to work for your good. So I need you to pick yourself back up and get back on that path, because there are people's lives that are being changed by the work that you're doing. And so when you realize that it's not about me, it's so not about you and I, but it's about, again, bringing glory to his kingdom, being the hands and feet of Jesus, you realize that you have to be disciplined in all that you do.
I love that. Allison, before we close out, I just want to say thank you, because you have given us so many key points throughout this conversation that if I were a listener, I'd have my pen pad out, because it's you've said so many great things and things that I know that it's God speaking through you. And then it also has come from your experience, things you have experienced. Now you see differently. And I think that that's super important. And then, like you mentioned earlier in the conversation, you are a life coach, but you also talked about personal empowerment and how that's important. Yeah. And I think the interesting concept about personal empowerment and being able to empower yourself is that there is God in us. And if we tap into the God in us, then we're able to empower ourselves to do things that the world would imagine impossible. But I think that that's the beautiful thing about how you frame that. So before we go, I want to leave our listeners with one tip on how they can continue to pursue purpose, or maybe they're just beginning their journey toward pursuing purpose. What is one tip you can give them for that journey? Because it truly is a journey that it would be helpful to kind of have some tools on how to navigate. So what is one good tip or tool that you would give to our listeners on how to truly pursue purpose?
Yeah, I would have to say that one tip would be trusting your process. Trusting your process indeed, and trusting that you are in his most perfect will. He sees you, he knows you, and he will make it plain. But your job is to continue living a life for him, really just becoming one with him and just allowing him to walk you through this process. He is your father. And sometimes, you know, it's hard to see it when we don't physically see him. But just as any good father loves his child, that is how the father loves you. And so your father only wants what's best for you. He only wants what's going to make you happy and fulfilled. And he only wants to love on you. And so trust your process and trust your father with your process. Shine when it feels hard to impress when you don't want to, because I guarantee you there's a promise attached to your life.
I love it. Make sure you guys took notes on this conversation, because Allison has truly been dropping gems. Allison, thank you so much for joining us today on Freedom Revamped, the podcast. It has truly been a pleasure, and what a blessing it was to hear all of the wonderful things that you had to say, and for you to have imparted all of this knowledge upon us. Thank you so much for
your time. Thank you for having me. I truly enjoyed it, and you have equally been a blessing to me. So thank you, thank you, thank you. I'm honored. Thank you.
Oh, you're so welcome. So as we close out, Allison, I would love for you to share with everyone how they can follow you on social media and how they can stay abreast to what you're doing on your own and even with the Mama's Movement.
Sure. Yeah, I would love to. So super easy. You can pretty much find us on all social channels at the Mama's Movement. We also have a private group on Facebook where we're able just to talk in a safe space, and it's facebook.com/the Mama's Movement. So again, like I said, you can find us on any social platform at the Mama's Movement. And on a personal standpoint, I am on Instagram as at Allison Calloway. So that's how you can find us.
Awesome. Well, thanks again, Allison. And thank you, listeners, for tuning in to this wonderful conversation about pursuing purpose. As we depart, I encourage you to this week take an opportunity to seek God. If that is whom you believe in, and even if it's not, find your purpose, find what it is that you were put here on earth for. I truly believe that everyone has a purpose, and there is a divine reason as to why you were placed here on this earth. So seek it out. Find out what is fulfilling to your soul. Write down those things, explore those things as you become closer to truly pursuing your purpose. As always, remember to practice freedom and have a wonderful day. Take care, everyone.
Bye.